international success coach and noted author, Constance Arnold, delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and your words to work for you and to bring about the life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, and I am broadcasting live today from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. I'm so excited and grateful that you've joined me. And guess what? It is no accident that you are listening. And as I say every Sunday, I know that the Spirit of God has drawn you here, has attracted you here, so that you can hear, so that you can receive, and begin implementing universal principles into your life. And I am excited about that. Well, how are you doing? Are you having an awesome week, an awesome day? I know that you are. Well, I am doing great here in Atlanta, or as it is sometimes affectionately known as Hotlanta, because during the summertime it is so hot, and guess what? It is steaming hot here in Atlanta, GA. And for all of my listeners in the U.S., this upcoming week is the 4th of July week, or Independence Day celebration. And for my international listeners, this holiday is when we in the U.S. celebrate our freedom and our independence. You know, so many people all over the world don't have that. So I am so grateful to be living in the USA of America and for all of the freedoms that we possess. So I just wanted to really acknowledge that. And so basically in the U.S., it is the time of the year when people go to the beach, they get together, they have cookouts, they spend time with friends and family, and they just have a great time. And you know, this holiday is sort of strange for me. As you know, my sister passed, I think, about 6 weeks ago, and she was the one who usually planned this holiday. So this week, I was talking to my brothers, and we were just talking about how really weird and strange it feels. And so we all agreed that we are having to come up with and create new traditions for our lives. And so that is what we are going to do. So what am I going to do? I don't know yet, but I'm thinking about going to the Ritz-Carlton at Lake Oconee, which is just about an hour away from Atlanta. They have lake and fishing and all of that, and just spend a couple of days there relaxing and having fun. So happy 4th of July to all of my listeners in the U.S. And just a couple of reminders. Remember that starting on July 8th, Jaden Sterling and I are conducting a 30-day wealth creation experience, and we're getting such an overwhelming, or I should say an awesome response from people signing up from all over the world to become a part of this experience. Because you know that when people come together, when there is an agreement, that miracles will begin to happen. You will gain invaluable information and strategies of how to move your life forward financially, how to bring more increase into your life over the next 30 days. And I had a gigantic financial miracle happen to me just this week, and I told Jaden that I believe it is because that we've launched this experiment, but more importantly, that we are all in agreement that we're going to have increase and miracles in our lives. I believe in strategies and projects, but I also believe in the grace of God, which produces what? Money miracles. And that is what happened to me this week. And God is no respecter of person. It can happen to you. So go to Facebook, and I want you to type in Wealth Creation Experience and join this group. We're going to be posting daily. We're going to be having teleseminars intermittently during that 30-day experience. And when you go to Facebook, you will be able to find specific steps that you're going to need to take in order to begin producing the results that you desire during this 30-day period. Also, I was on Jaden Sterling's radio show this week on Blog Talk Radio, and I want you to go and listen to that because it was part two of the Wealth Creation Experience. And, you know, it felt so good because it is so rare that I'm the one being interviewed. So you will hear my insight, my revelation on how you can begin to increase during this 30-day period. You know, the Bible says that increase shall be in your household, that wealth and riches shall be in your household, and that God is the one who increases you daily. All right, so make sure you sign up on Facebook and make sure you go to Jaden Sterling's radio show on Blog Talk and listen to part two of this Wealth Creation Experience. And lastly, guess what? Now is the time for you to begin to coach with me. You know, I think I've told you before that one of the reasons that I floundered and that I struggled for years was that I was trying to do it by myself. It was really ignorance on my part. I thought I could do it all by myself. But guess what? Things did not change for me. And it was only when I started coaching and doing the work that wealth, love, and life beyond my wildest dreams really manifested in my life. So now the question is, has God been holding back from you what you desire? No. It was really your own choices and your own thinking and your own beliefs that are holding you back. So many of you have invested in big homes. There's nothing wrong with that. I have a big home. Expensive cars. There's nothing wrong with that. I have what some people would call an expensive car. Top of the line designer clothes. You know, I love designer clothes. But all of those things are outside of you. So the greatest thing that you can invest in is yourself, and the returns will be beyond your wildest dreams, and aren't you ready for that? So email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Okay, are you ready for the show tonight? How many of you are interested in how to become a successful entrepreneur and you're really ready to gain an understanding of the essential steps that you need to take towards personal and financial success that will ultimately lead you to riches? I know you're excited about that, so stay tuned. And after this quick commercial break, I will be right back with my very special guest.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com. Are you ready to create the life of your dreams? Imagine partnering with a coach that can help you manifest extraordinary success. Constance Arnold has been a licensed therapist and coach for over 25 years and has successfully worked with more than 10,000 clients. Constance will help you clarify your goals, eliminate self-defeating beliefs, and create strategic plans to manifest your dreams. Constance offers a variety of coaching packages, pay-as-you-go, half-yearly, and yearly coaching. Contact Constance today for guaranteed coaching that produces extraordinary and permanent results. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Hi, I'm Sue Elliott, Editor-in-Chief of Law of Attraction Magazine. I would love to introduce you to the magazine so you can manifest the life of your dreams. You'll find powerful wisdom, insights, and easy techniques inside every issue of Law of Attraction Magazine. And it's available right now, digitally and on most newsstands. Visit lawofattractionmag.com to purchase your online copy today. That's Law of Attraction, M-A-G.com.
Law of Attraction Magazine is not associated with Law of Attraction Radio Network.
All right, I'm really excited to be back. I hope you enjoyed those great commercials. And, you know, I received so many emails from listeners all over the world. And one of the main questions that they asked me is, Constance, what are some of the universal principles of our laws of becoming a great entrepreneur? And tonight, I'm so excited because I have an expert on the show tonight. His name is Riz Virk, and Riz is a well-known entrepreneur, author, independent film producer, and angel investor in Silicon Valley. He started his first company at the young age of 23, and it rapidly grew into a multi-million dollar operation with offices all around the country. And since then, he has started, grown, and sold several high-tech companies in enterprise software, video games, and online advertising. His entrepreneurial exploits have been featured in Inc. magazine, the Boston Globe, the Wall Street Journal, and TechCrunch. He is a graduate of MIT, that tells you how smart he is, in computer science, and Stanford's Graduate School of Business. He is the author of Zen Entrepreneurship, Walking the Path of the Career Warrior, and this book relays 14 key principles that any entrepreneur, and that's you, and anyone else would find to be essential steps toward personal and financial success to ultimate riches. And so, Riz, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, what great city are you calling from today?
Well, I'm in Palo Alto, California, which is just south of San Francisco.
Wow, well, I am so excited about having you on the show tonight. So tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are before we get into some of those wonderful entrepreneurial universal principles in your book.
As you mentioned, I started my first company at the age of 23 when I was fresh out of college. As I grew that company, I also started to learn about more spiritual practices. You know, got into meditation, yoga, Tibetan dream yoga, all kinds of esoteric practices. And, you know, I viewed those two initially as very separate. You know, there was my business activity that I did with my co-founders and raised money from venture capitalists, and we raised millions of dollars. And then there was my spiritual activity over here. And it wasn't until that our business had grown that we started to run into problems. We kind of hit a wall. And upon reflection, I found that the issues that the business was facing were the same issues that I was struggling with, you know, on my personal development and growth. I'll give you an example. I was somebody who, and still am, somebody who likes to do lots of different things. I'll jump into something, do it for a while, and then I want to jump to the next thing and do that for a while and jump into the next thing. And I think a lot of creative people are like that. and you'll see I'm still like that. You know, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm an investor, I'm an author, I'm a filmmaker. But what was happening was that this was part of my, what I call my internal energetic pattern, and it was part of my strength that I could just jump into something new and go full bore at it and be successful at it. But it was causing the company problems because we were just doing too many things. We had our first product, and I decided we should build a second product, and I decided we should build a third product, and I decided we should start a consulting group, and everything was suffering because we weren't focused enough. And so this was a case where my internal energetic pattern was being reflected in the outside world in my career. Now, I'm an entrepreneur, but I think the same thing happens for people really in any career, that are the external issues we face on our path to success, not just financial success, but feeling happy and successful, are the same issues that, you know, we deal with internally. And that's really what led me to write this book. And over the years, I've gone from being an entrepreneur myself to investing in and mentoring dozens of other entrepreneurs. And so I've sort of seen the same issues come up for other entrepreneurs. I mean, different types of issues, but the same kind of thing is happening where the internal and the external are reflected, and they're not really aware of it because they're caught in these repeating patterns sometimes.
You know, that is so true. And so let's just say if somebody's listening tonight, Riz, who's not an entrepreneur, but then they might be working in the corporate world. So the principles that you are going to be sharing tonight can apply to their lives, and they can begin to implement them in their own lives. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So the subtitle of the book is Walking the Path of the Career Warrior. And, you know, I chose the term warrior, you know, not so much because of the violent aspect of a warrior, but really because of the medieval kind of image of a warrior as someone who has mastered themselves, you know. And I use the term Zen because in Japanese culture, you know, many of the samurai, many people who participated in different types of martial arts or decorative arts turned to the Zen monks to tap into what they call the Zen-like state of beginner's mind, where you let things flow and you don't have preconceptions, and that actually helped them perfect their art. So really this is about perfecting, you know, our own internal demons, if you will, and walking a career path that is very unique to each of us. And so it's not just about starting a business, although that's one career path people who read this book often take, but it's really for people on any career path who want to discover and connect the dots along the way to get to what I like to call your unique warrior's path. And a unique warrior's path is the combination of lessons that we're here to learn. You know, whether we want to or not, I believe we're all here to learn certain lessons and work on ourselves. And this ties to what I was talking about earlier, the energetic patterns. So it's a unique combination of lessons we're here to learn and the contributions that we're here to make to society, because I believe each of us has unique talents and gifts, and we're here to contribute those. And so if you find the right combination of those two things, you can walk your own unique career path. And that's really what this book is about.
So you've mentioned a couple of times the energetic pattern. What is that, and why is that important in this process?
Sure. So, you know, what I'm referring to the energetic pattern is kind of the sum of all of our individual personality, our hopes, our fears, and our unconscious reactions. And, you know, it's been called different things in different traditions, right? People who have a more New Age bent like to talk about the aura. People who have a more religious bent like to talk about the soul. But I believe it's a unique combination of stuff that we have inside of us that's not always visible. And in the yogic traditions, the mind and the body are a series of clear sheets which let light through, one inside the other. You can think of them kind of like clear bubbles. But what happens as we go through life is that we start to form these imperfections in these sheets. Every time, you know, we're afraid, we get betrayed, or something bad happens, or even something, you know, strange happens, we tighten up in a way, and as we go through life, these sheets become muddied. And so we don't really let light shine through in terms of our ability to perceive what's going on, or we don't let light shine out either. We're kind of caught in our own stories that we're telling ourselves. And so I believe, you know, the process of meditation, of yoga, of prayer, many other practices really work, and according to the ancient traditions, they work on clearing these imperfections. And so the real goal is to be able to see clearly what's actually happening in our lives. And our energetic pattern is our own collection of all these, you know, these things that we have accumulated that we may need to let go of to really realize our true potential in this life.
Well, you know, I don't know what the stats are now, but it's, I think I read a couple of years ago that it was like maybe 70% of all people don't love what they're doing, and that Monday morning is the most stressful time of the week for people. So are you saying that people can really be happy and successful with their careers and if they desire to start a business?
Yeah, definitely. And it's an interesting statistic. You know, it's funny, I've been in the video game business for the past few years, and one of the industries I was in was Facebook gaming, and it turns out that, you know, the time that people played games on Facebook the most was Monday morning, right?
Oh my goodness.
I mean, this is an actual statistic that we tracked from different game publishers. And, you know, it's because people aren't that excited about their work that they're going on to Facebook and they're doing these other things. But, yeah, I believe that, you know, we can find work that is meaningful to us, that we love, and that can also bring us financial success. And you know, I think the way to do that is we have to find what I call the intersection of the three spheres. And too often we're focused on one of these spheres or another. And, you know, the first sphere is a set of things that we really enjoy, that we love, and that we want to do. But it's not just that, because, you know, too often sometimes we hear the phrase, you know, do what you love and the money will follow. And that's a great phrase. I think it was even the title of a best-selling book way back when.
Right.
but sometimes we do what we love and the money doesn't follow. Right?
Hey, I've been there, Rich.
So what do we do? Well, that, if we view that as only one sphere and we say, okay, we need to find where this intersects with these two other spheres. Now, the second sphere is what we are good at and what we are, you know, what our natural talents are. So too often we say, I want to do X, but turns out we're not really that great at X. I mean, I'll use an extreme example. Suppose I said I want to be an NBA basketball player. Okay, now I'm 5'6", and, you know, not very athletic, so that's probably not an appropriate goal for me.
Right.
But you know what? I'm a much better computer programmer, you know, than I am a basketball player. Right? So this actually takes a little bit of honesty to say, you know, what are we actually good at? Are we good at working with people? Are we good at working with numbers? Are we good at, you know, things that require us to go out and travel? Are we better when we're alone? That there's a lot of different factors that tie into this, but I find that being honest means you have to see yourself clearly, and sometimes that's the most difficult thing for any of us to do, I think. And that's why sometimes it helps to talk to others and ask them, what do you think I'm good at? People that have known us for a while, because patterns repeat themselves. We get drawn to things that we're good at. So that's the second sphere. And the third sphere is what the market needs. You know, I might be really good at, I don't know, let's use an extreme example, right? Basket weaving, which, mm-hmm. of course, I know nothing about. But but if there's nobody willing to pay for that service, right. Well, then I might do it, but I may not. The money may never follow, right? And so we have to be attuned to the timing of the market and be receptive to what, you know, the market really needs. And if we can do that, I believe if you can find where these three spheres intersect, what you like to do, what you're good at, and what the market is willing to pay for, then I believe that's a great formula for both happiness and financial success. You can focus on only one of those spheres, let's say just what the market needs, then you might find yourself doing something just for pay, right, as opposed to something that you really enjoy. And I think this takes a little bit of self-reflection. You know, and my book talks about self-reflection and understanding oneself a lot.
Well, Riz, would you say that meditation and spiritual practices can bring more wealth and money into your life?
Well, I would say that they can help you to be more successful. Mm-hmm. Right? And that successful could mean bringing more money into your life, or it could mean being in the right place at the right time. It could mean, you know, doing what you were meant to do. So the way that I like to view it is that spiritual practices help open up our intuition. Mm-hmm. And our intuition helps us to find the next clue. I like to think of our careers and our lives as an elaborate treasure hunt. Right? And, you know, you may have seen some of the old Indiana Jones movies,
right.
Raiders of the Lost Ark,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, in those movies, at the end there is a big treasure. It could be the Ark of the Covenant, could be the Holy Grail, depending on which of the Indiana Jones movies you're watching. But to get there, the hero, which is us in our own treasure hunt, has to find the clues. And they don't come all at once. So you get one clue at a time, and you have to kind of follow that clue. And then that clue usually leads to the next clue. Like any good treasure hunter mystery, you know, clues indicate direction. And if you follow the clues, you can end up in a more successful place. And that leads to the eventual treasure, which could be, as you said, financial wealth, or it could be just, you know, a key part of where we were meant to be. So what do I mean by clues? I mean, I like to say there's at least seven different types of clues, but they're like hunches, they're like little voices inside our heads. They're like phrases that we overhear that have some meaning to us. I'll give you an actual concrete example from one of my businesses years ago. We had started a company. I was living in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and we couldn't decide on a name for our software company. And, you know, this became an issue for us. So we were just calling it XYZ Technologies until we figured out a name. And I happened to go visit my parents in Michigan for the holidays. And while I was there, I was driving in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is the home of the University of Michigan. And I saw a building with the name of a technology company on the side of it. And somehow, you know, it wasn't just that I saw it. I had a funny feeling, like that sense of deja vu. Well, you know, this is kind of important. And the name of the company was Arbor Text. And I thought about it on my drive back to my parents' house and even when I flew back to Boston. And I said, oh, well, you know, these guys are a technology company, and they named their company after their hometown, their college town of Ann Arbor. So why don't we name our company after our college town of Cambridge? And we did. We named it Cambridge Documents, and we ended up loving the name. Like, we all agreed that was a good name for the company at the time. So that was an example where a little clue by following it led to the resolution of a business issue. But, you know, I still had that funny feeling that this clue is more important than just a name. So I decided to follow the clue further to the next clue. And I found that that company was actually in a very similar market to ours. They were just bigger and more established. So I contacted the founders of that company. And then on my next holiday, when I went to visit my parents again, I actually went and visited this company and showed them our product. And they ended up, you know, loving our product. I mean, it took a little bit of time, but they ended up becoming our biggest customer. And we were just a tiny startup at the time, a few people. And they got us into, like, very big companies like Toyota, like Boeing, because they already had customer relationships with all these big companies. And so there's an example where following an intuition actually did lead to a level of financial success for my business. But more than that, I think it shows the process of clues indicate direction. You have to take a step in that direction. Then you see the next clue. Then you see the next clue. And that makes life much more fun, I believe.
And so, Riz, what about somebody out there who has an idea or they've been thinking about becoming an entrepreneur? What other universal principles could you share with people tonight about becoming an entrepreneur or possibly becoming more successful in corporate America, corporate Australia?
Sure. So maybe I can talk about what I call the four keys to manifestation.
Oh, I love that. Sounds great. Yeah, let's hear that.
that's something that I, you know, go through in the book as well. And again, I think just like I talked about the three spheres with the four keys, sometimes people are you know, overly focused on just one of the spheres. I mean, they're one of the keys. And I believe that by understanding all four of them, we can understand the complexities of how things manifest themselves in our lives. And the four keys, the first key is what I call right intent. And that is kind of setting your goal and setting up both your mind and setting forces in motion in the hidden world to help you get there. And this very much ties to the law of attraction, ties to other principles that have been articulated over time, right, with creative visualization and the general idea of ask and you shall receive, right? But sometimes we ask and we don't receive right away.
Right? Hey, I've done that too.
and that's why I think the other three keys are just as important. So the second key is what I call right patterns. And this is about understanding your unique patterns and how you manifest. If you're somebody who plods along slowly and that's how you've accomplished things in the past, then, you know, you may need to take a different path than somebody who jumps in, does things right away, and then gets bored, right? And so understanding your patterns is actually quite important. And the way to understand your patterns is to try to look at how they've manifested in the past. And I'll give you an example. I invested in an entrepreneur a few years ago where he had this interesting thing happen again and again where he would bring on a new investor. He would sort of fall in love with that investor and use that investor as an advisor and follow his advice completely and talk about, you know, how great the investor was. And then as soon as something went wrong with the company, he would turn around and blame that bad decision on that new investor, right? And then his relationship with that investor would sour, and then they would never talk to each other again. Now, this was a sort of a negative pattern, right? And And I saw it happen again and again. And after it happened three times, I'm like, you know, there's something going on here with this guy's personality. And he couldn't see it. He couldn't see the fact that, you know, in his own mind, he was, you know, just doing what he normally does. And there was the story that he was telling himself. And so being able to see our patterns clearly is actually vitally important, I think, in accomplishing things in our lives. There's an old Chinese proverb that I like, and I like to think of our patterns as being like dragons. And the Chinese proverb about dragons that I like to quote is that if you ignore the dragon, then it will eat you.
Ah.
If you confront the dragon, then it will defeat you. But if you learn to ride the dragon, then you can take advantage of its might and its power.
That's awesome.
And that is really the second key, is understanding your pattern, because there's strengths in that pattern, right? I talked about my own issues of doing too many things at once. Well, there was a strength in that. That's why I became an entrepreneur, because I like to just jump into things. And so leveraging those strengths while mitigating the weaknesses lets you take advantage of your own internal dragons. And then if you can do that, that leads me to what I call the third key of manifestation, and that's what I call right technique. And of course, you know, I mean, I wish I could just visualize something and have it just come to me without having to do anything in the external world, but we we live in the real world, right? So we have to get out there whether we want to, you know, make money investing in real estate, or we want to start a software business, or we want to open a restaurant, or we just want to get a better job, right? There's things we have to do, and there's no shortage of techniques out there. You can find books, how-to books on anything, right? How to get a job as, you know, a travel agent, right? You name it, you can find lots of techniques to do it. But the problem is not all techniques are right for all people. And so you have to choose the technique that's right for you, given your knowledge of your internal pattern. So let me give you another example of this. Years ago, I attended a talk by a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. Her name was Isabel Allende at Berkeley. And somebody in the audience asked her, you know, how do I write my first novel? It seems like a big, daunting task. And she actually gave a technique that seemed like a reasonable technique, a very good technique. She said, why don't you write a page a day, and then at the end of the year, you'll have 365 pages. That's enough material for a novel. Then if you spend the next 6 months to a year, you know, modifying that, you'll have your first novel. And I thought, oh, what a brilliant technique. Let me try it. So I went back and I tried it. And it didn't work for me, actually. Because
me,
I'm not the kind of person
either.
Who can write one page a day. Now, I can sometimes write 10 pages in one day, mm-hmm. and then write nothing for 2 weeks, and then write a few pages after that. But that technique was a great technique, but it just didn't fit with my pattern. And so if we choose the right technique, we've got the third key of manifestation. And then finally, I'd like to get to the fourth key, which is a little more abstract, but I think in some ways it may even be the most important. And that's what I call right timing, or appropriateness. And this means that your inner timing, you know, has to match the outer timing of the market. And it's usually when our timing is off that we find obstacles, you know, cropping up in our way. And, you know, I like to tell people to believe in their dreams, but if you're constantly banging your head against the wall, you may need to step back and say, you know what, is the timing right for this right now? And your inner timing could be you want to start a business, but you have all these financial obligations, and maybe it's not the best time. On the other hand, you know, for example, I've been in the video game industry, and a couple years ago, iPhone games was booming. It was a great time to start a company in that space. This year is not a great time to start a company in that space, because there are now 900,000 games or apps in the Apple iTunes App Store. And so it's really hard to get your game noticed when that wasn't the case a few years ago. So understanding this element of timing is very important. And that's where I go back to what I was saying earlier about being able to recognize and follow the clues, because the clues can help you in getting your timing just right. And they can help you recognize when the timing isn't right. And so I'll give you another example. Since I talked about writing earlier, my book, Zen Entrepreneurship, which, you know, I just released the second edition of, which I actually wrote it years ago, back in 2004, 2005, and I tried to get it out there, but it was like I was going uphill. Right? It was like there was all kinds of obstacles in the way. And eventually, even though I wanted, you know, my book to get out there back then, it was as if the universe was telling me that the timing wasn't quite right. And so I ended up just pulling back eventually. And then years later, this last year, I started to get clues and signals that, you know, now is the right time to re-release the book. And the book is a story and a how-to manual. And so I really added all of the elements of the how-to manual in the last 12 months. I wrote those pieces because people had told me that's what they felt was missing. And on top of that, I'm a much more successful entrepreneur now than I was when I first wrote the story part of the book. And so I've seen many more entrepreneurs go through their own energetic patterns. So I was able to validate a lot of what had happened. I also learned a lot more about consumer marketing. So I followed the clues, and the market is much more receptive now. I mean, back then we were in the middle of the Iraq war. There were all kinds of things that people were thinking about other than finding meaningful work. And so when I released this book, just in early June, it became an international bestseller. And then that's showing how timing can affect whether we achieve our goals or not. And if we learn to get the timing right, you know, we can be very successful.
Well, those are four powerful keys to manifestation, Riz. And you mentioned the law of attraction. So let's talk about the law of attraction or creative visualization in this whole process of entrepreneurship or becoming successful in your career. How important is that, or what role does that play?
Well, you know, I think it definitely plays an important role. But, you know, there's that old Rolling Stones song from the 60s, right? It's like, you can't always get what we want, but sometimes if we try, we might find that we get what we need.
Uh-huh.
And so, so I think it's important that we choose goals that are appropriate for where we are, in our careers and our lives. So, for example, suppose somebody says, hey, I want to make a $100 million Hollywood movie, and I want to be the next Steven Spielberg. Okay, but you've never made a film before. Okay, so, you know, it's good to visualize yourself being able to make this big movie, but then, you know, the best way to make a $100 million movie is to make a successful $10 million movie first, because then somebody will give you $100 million to make the next film. And the best way to make a $10 million film is to make a successful $1 million film. You say, well, I don't have $1 million. Well, the best way to get somebody to give you $1 million to make a film is to make a successful $100,000 film, right? And so I think we can have long-term goals that we visualize, and then I think we can have, you know, sort of shorter-term goals that are milestones to get us along the way. And I think it's important that we choose the right image. And so visualization, right, people think of it as a mental exercise. Well, one of the reasons why I started meditating in the first place was I thought, okay, if this can increase my ability to concentrate, then I should be able to visualize my goal more clearly. And it's true. I mean, if we think of all the thoughts that we have in our minds at any given time, I think of it like, you know, those snow globes where they have, like,
right,
a little city inside, and you shake them up, and the snow is flying everywhere in the globe. But then if you set it down, eventually the snow all settles down and everything is clear. That having some spiritual practice that gets us to that place of clarity is really helpful, and it builds our minds, our muscles of attention. And I'll talk a little bit in a moment about using our work as meditation to help do that. But I think when we do that, we are then able to, one, hold on to a visualization, but two, we can choose an appropriate visualization. You know, in my book, I talk about when I started my very first company. I was 23 years old, and, you know, I was trying to find the right image to visualize for my company, and I couldn't find it, right? And I think sometimes there's a snap that happens when we find the right image. It's an image that comes to us, and then that's the one we want to hold on to and visualize, because that's a downhill image. Like, we can reach it by going downhill rather than having to go uphill and struggle to hold on to this image of something we want to get in our lives. And so I think a combination of learning to receive, clearing your mind, strengthening your ability to do that will then give us the image that we can put energy into. And as we put energy into that, I believe, as do many others, that you're really creating a thought form, right, that actually exists in the hidden worlds, which will then go out there and start to attract the right circumstances and the right people, you know, to help you along the way. And then we have to be open, and we have to recognize when these people or these events happen, when the opportunity is there. And that's also, you know, what the Zen of entrepreneurship is about is, you know, not only do you want to set yourself up to go in a certain direction, but you want to be ready to act when those opportunities happen so that you can jump right in and take advantage of them.
And so, Rish, you talked about, you were going to talk about using your work as meditation or using your work for spiritual growth. How in the world can we begin to do that?
Well, that in fact, is, you know, very much what the whole book is about. And like I said, when I started this, I wasn't that interested in spiritual growth and meditation and all this esoteric stuff. You know, I grew up in Detroit in a lower middle class family. I just wanted to make a lot of money, right?
Right.
But what I found was that the process itself started to change me. And so, you know, by the end, rather than viewing, you know, meditation as something that was helping me with my work, I was viewing all the challenges that I came up with in my work as really helping me to deal with all of these hidden issues in my energetic pattern, which in the end was helping me with my personal growth in meditation. So if you think of meditation, in the early days, it's usually about concentration. And if you look at different techniques, people will say concentrate on the breath, concentrate on a chakra or energy center in the body, concentrate on a spiritual principle or spiritual being. But it really is about concentration, and what happens is after a few minutes, our mind gets distracted by something, you know, the date we have Friday night or the thing that you know, somebody said to us that we should have answered so cleverly, but we didn't, right? Our mind wanders to all these things. And then meditation is really the process of bringing our mind back, letting go of these things, and bringing our mind back to the object of attention in the early days, right? I believe eventually meditation is about awareness of this larger part of ourselves. But really we get there by starting to concentrate the mind. Well, turns out you can do that at work. I mean, Sigmund Freud had a saying once. He said that life consists mostly of work and love. And I thought about it, and I said, well, if you add up the hours, life consists mostly of work and sleep.
Right? So true.
We spend our 8 hours of sleep and 8 hours at work, and then, you know, we have a little bit of time left over for love and other things, right? And so, you know, one of my teachers taught me that if you can utilize both of those times, the work and sleep, then you can turn your spiritual growth into a 24-hour-a-day type of thing. And the way to do it at work is to pick a task that you have to focus on for a period of time. And doing that task well, doing it with your full concentration, what's called mindfulness, becomes the meditation for, say, that next hour. Now, my story happened when I was 23. This was back in the 1990s, when email was new. So I talk about email being a distraction. Well, now we have so many distractions, right? With our smartphones, SMS, we have Twitter, we have Facebook, Instagram, right? You name it, there are so many things that we can get distracted by. And so to use your work as meditation, you actually say that I'm going to utilize this task to develop my strength of mind and concentration. And what will happen after a few minutes, just like in meditation, is that you will get distracted. Right? Maybe it's a colleague going to lunch. Maybe it's, you know, something popping up on your iPhone from one of your games, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's something on Facebook that you find pretty clever. And so then what you have to do is you have to let that go, not follow it at the moment, and bring your mind and your attention back to the task that you're focused on. And as you do this a few times, you'll find you're actually exercising what I call the same mental muscle, the same muscle of attention that at least early stage meditation is about developing. And so you can do this. It's not easy, right? And nor is, you know, keeping your mind focused for 15 minutes. That's not easy either. But focusing for a whole hour on a task or 2 hours, it doesn't matter what kind of task it is. It could be a menial task. It could be just sitting there retyping data entry. It could be something much more complex, you know, solving some big problem that you have. But really, you turn your work into what I call warrior's tasks. And a warrior's task is a task that has another purpose. Maybe you've seen that old movie from the 80s, The Karate Kid. Did you ever see that?
I did.
Yeah, do you remember when Mr. Miyagi, the mentor, was having Daniel paint the fence and wax the floor? Right? Those were the obvious tasks he was giving him. But what Daniel, the Karate Kid, didn't realize was that he was actually teaching him karate, right? Because those same motions that he was going through, he was learning to do them repetitively. And in the end, those were the same motions he needed to block, like karate kicks, etc. And so a warrior's task at work is where you do the task you're appointed to, but it actually has another benefit, a different benefit. In this case, it's developing your ability to concentrate, clearing your mind, so that, you know, you can visualize your goals, you can hone in on the right thoughts and open up your intuition. And so that's what using your works meditation is all about.
This has been so interesting, and I am sure that listeners all over the world tonight have been really enlightened, Riz, and I do want to get your personal information. But before I do that, I just have a quick question. We have about 5 minutes. Can money and success make you happy? Answer that question, and then we'll give your personal information.
Sure. So there's a couple of quotes on that I really like, and one is from the Buddha, where he was asked, you know, what is the path to happiness? And he answered, you know, there is no path to happiness. Happiness is the path.
Mm.
And I think that's really important, that, and take it from somebody, you know, who has, you know, I've been dirt poor living in downtown Detroit, I've made millions of dollars, and I've lost millions of dollars, right? That really, what you're doing along the way is what really makes you happy. And for each of us, that's a different thing. It's, you know, we each have our own things that we're intrigued by. We have our own personalities. We have things that light us up. And that which lights you up is what makes you happy. And so I really focus on the journey along the way. I mean, I'm the kind of guy who loves starting things, right? And so I'm happiest when I'm starting things. And so I'd like to, you know, just leave that, the answer to that question with that quote, that happiness is the path. So if you can be happy along the way, then you can be happy at the end. If you're not happy along the way, you know, you'll have a moment of happiness when you make a bunch of money, but then suddenly you'll be right back in your own energetic pattern at that point.
So true. Riz, you are amazing. You're smart. You're genius. I mean, what else can I say? How can people contact you? What is your personal information? Go ahead.
Yeah, so I have a website called zenentrepreneur.com, and I know I spell entrepreneur wrong sometimes.
I do too. Every
but
time.
On that site, there's a link to my blog. There's a link to Amazon where you can buy the book, which is called Zen Entrepreneurship, Walking the Path of the Career Warrior. And there's a link to my Facebook page, which I'm regularly updating. And actually, I'd like to make a little announcement. You know, I've heard again and again from younger people who just graduated from college or who are about to graduate, that because they're sort of at the beginning of their careers, that this book has really helped them to think about, to frame, you know, how they want to go about their search for their own path in life. And, you know, I think that's really important. The book is great for people of any age who are looking to make a change in their careers. But I think particularly since the story itself is about when I was 23 and had just graduated, it seems to call this younger generation, who I think is more attuned to having not just financial success, but really having meaningful work in ways that even when I graduated back in the 90s or people graduated in the 80s weren't attuned to. And there's a nice balance there. So I'd like to basically offer a free copy of the book to anybody who's a recent college grad or who's about to graduate. Or if there's somebody in your family who's in that circumstances. I know when I graduated from college, money was very tight. Right? Every 10 bucks made a difference back
right.
then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like to offer a free copy of the book to anybody who's a recent college grad or about to graduate, or a gift if you want to give a gift to somebody who's in that circumstances. And you can just email me at zenentrepreneur@gmail.com. And just let me know who the book is for, where they're graduating from, and an address, and I'll send a free copy of the book to them.
So, Riz, that means that I can't pretend like I'm 21 and just graduating from grad school, right, and get a free copy. I wouldn't do that.
Yes.
But, you know,
I'll give you a free copy anyway.
How generous you are. Thank you so much for that generous offer, and I'm going to really encourage all of my listeners to go to his website. This man is very successful. He's very smart. He has insight, you know, into entrepreneurship, and get his book today and begin to implement the tools that he has designed specifically to move you from where you are to where you desire to be. And Riz, you've just been an awesome guest. I have really enjoyed this interview and this time with you.
Well, I've really enjoyed it as well, and thank you very much for having me on.
And so in closing, do you have any closing words for people?
You know, in closing, I'd like to maybe give another quote from the Buddha, and he said that your work in life is to find your work, and once you find it, to give your heart to it. And that's really, I think, what the book is about, and that's really a thought that I'd like to leave people with.
Wow, amazing. Thank you so much. Well, once again, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. Thank you so much for joining me every week. Tell three of your friends about this show. Remember, I love you, God loves you, and guess what? This week, the best is yet to come in your life.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance will be back next week with another inspirational show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com or send Constance an email at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.